Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Dalet on the base, the very last line, the words of Safik Ve'Andriganus. So Gemara says, Natanu Rabbanan Arloso. So we learn a lesson of Arloso. Rashi points out, why does it say Arloso? Dafka, this Nimos, this baby's foreskin, which isn't coming to exclude someone else. Sounds like only this case, but there's going to be a case where we do not do the Mila on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, what's that talking about? Arloso vade docha Shabbos. Only if it's a foreskin of someone who is vade chayev in a mila is he going to docha Shabbos. However, if it's someone velosavek docha Shabbos. However, if it's someone who's in doubt, that case is not going to override Shabbos. We're not going to allow you to violate Shabbos to do the mila of that person. The Gemara is going to give examples. Arloso vade docha Shabbos below on drinkenos docha Shabbos. So here's the first example, that only someone who's certainly going to be chayev in the mila. However, not in drinkenos. We mentioned a drinkenos to someone who is chayev, who has signs of both a male and a female. So we're not really sure what his status is. Is he a male or a female? So he, you have to do the mila misad safek, but you don't do the mila on Shabbos. Rabbi Yudamir Andriganus Dochas Shabbos. Rabbi Yudamir says that Andriganus is going to override Shabbos. We'll learn about him on the next step. Ve'anush karis, and if you don't do it, you are going to be anush karis if you don't give him a mila. So now the Gemara continues, Arloso vade docha Shabbos. Now we give other examples. Velo nolad bin hashmashos docha Shabbos. So not someone who is born during the twilight period is going to override Shabbos. This would be twilight both on Friday night. So let's assume Shki is at 7 o'clock. So the baby's born at 7:05. So this is now, you're not sure. Is it Friday or is it Shabbos? So you would not do the Mila on Shabbos. And the same thing would be on Motzei Shabbos. If Shabbos is over, if a Shkia is at 7 o'clock and your baby's born at 7:05, so we're not sure if it's Saturday night or Sunday. In both those examples, we would have the Mila would be on the following Sunday. And that leads into the big question of what point is the twilight for this halacha. That's a very big shaila in Eretz Yisrael. They're a little bit more meka what the zman is of tzeis. Let's say a half hour, I think even everyone would agree that you would already do it on Shabbos. But before then, maybe that you would have room to different poskim would say different things. In America, l'chora, I would assume the zman is a little bit longer, maybe even up to 40, maybe even up to 50, the fear of Moshe, potentially. I'm not exactly sure what the poskim agree with in terms of when the baby has to be born on Friday night. And Motzei Shabbos, in order to vaday, Motzei Shabbos, no matter what, after Shkia, you're done. So really, the shaila is just Friday night. How much into Friday night does the baby have to be born in order to be do the bris on Shabbos? Our loss of Adulcha Shabbos, the lo nolak shumal Adulcha Shabbos. Another example is that a person who is already born with a bris, then we're going to see that you're going to potentially have to do a tavastam bris, is take out some blood. So even that would not override Shabbos. Shabbos shamay omrim tzarech la'atif menudam bris, v'ilozrim eino tzarech, because b'shamay hold that someone has to cause blood to come out, meaning that's to cause a tavastam bris, is taking out blood, as opposed to b'zilo that it hold that is not necessary. So we're going to see exactly what the machlokas is. The Gemara says, omrim shimon ben lazer lo nechlo. So here this is already giving us the explanation about potentially what the Tanakhama held about the machlokas based on Rav Shimon Lazar. Rav Shimon says, Bishamai and Bishila don't argue about a baby who's born that everyone agreed. Bishamai and Bishila would agree that you need to take out some blood because maybe some of the foreskin is going to be hidden under the bris that you don't really see it and it really is there. So everyone agrees that you should take out some of the blood, and therefore because we're afraid you didn't do all the parts of the mila if he's born with a bris. There are people who are born with bris, and even nowadays there are people, examples of this. So according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, everyone agreed, Bishamai and Beisela agree that you have to do this. The only shaila would be, the machlokas between them is only going to be a convert who converted when he already had a bris mila. Rashi gives an example of an Arab, right? Of Yishmaelim, or people who, the Muslims, they get bris of mila. So if they decide to convert to Judaism, they already have a bris. Everyone agrees. You can't tie that there's any finding that's going to be kavush, any part of the foreskin that is suppressed. You know it's clearly there. It's not hidden. So therefore, that's the machlokas. Bishamai says that in order to do the conversion properly, you need to do a tavas dam bris. You need to take out some blood. A basil is going to say in tzarech latem a bris. A basil hold they would not need to do blood. Take out the blood. Rather, all he has to do is like a woman, just go to the mikvah and kabbalah some mitzvahs, and that would be enough for this circumstance to this person to convert. So we see from that that the Tanakhama was holding apparently that whether or not it was docha Shabbos. Whether or not Bechlal, according to the Tanakhama, Beis Hillel doesn't require at all. If a person is born with a bris, according to the Tanakhama, the Beis Hillel holds that you do not need to give him a Tavas Dam bris. You don't need to take out any blood whatsoever, as opposed to Reb Shimon Lazar, who holds that everyone agrees that you need to. The only Shaila would be also about a ger, and also Pashas, what would happen on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Mar, so we quoted before, Velo Safek Dochas Shabbos, that we learn out that someone who has a questionable status is not going to override Shabbos. The Gemara says, Tuyamai, but wait a second. The Braisa then told you examples, so why would the Braisa tell you this general rule that anyone who's a Safek doesn't do Bris Mila on Shabbos? What do you mean? That's obviously coming to include a different case, because we already mentioned three cases after that. We mentioned the case of what? We mentioned the case of someone who's born Beinash Mashas, the case of Adriganus, and we also born the, right, the other, so we have these cases all who are different than someone who is born with the Mila. We already born all three of those cases, so then we already have brought cases of doubt. So what exactly is this Braisa coming to include by just saying the general rule of anyone who's a Sofik is don't do the Mila on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, it's coming to conclude the following Braisa. Bein Shiva Mechanel of Ezer Shabbos. The someone who's the 7th month old baby, in the 7th month of pregnancy, you're Mechal of a Shabbos, which is considered healthy enough, and therefore he's Mechal of Shabbos, he's definitely a Vlad, he's considered a baby. However, for an 8th day old, the Gemara assumes it's Vade that he's going to die, and therefore we don't treat it as if he's going to live, and you're not allowed to Mechal of Shabbos to save him. Safek Bein Shiva Mechal of Mechal of Shabbos. If it's Safek, whether or not it's the 7th month or the 8th month, he would not violate Shabbos on his behalf. Ben Shmona Reu Ke'evin. However, if a child is in the 8th month, it's like a stone. He's mukta because he's definitely going to die. He's not even considered a person. And so the woman is not allowed to move her child. However, she is allowed to nurse him. Because there's danger for her. She has a ton of milk. Rashi points out that would be dangerous for her. So therefore, we're not afraid that she's going to move the child. We don't make that gzira, and we allow you to do that. So it's coming to include the 7th month old. However, is chayav in the mila, and the 7th month is healthy enough to do the bris mila, not the 8th month old. The Chazon Ish already points out, Rav Yashem quotes this, that the nishtanu atava, that's clearly, that's not the metzias nowadays. We have 8th month olds that are healthy, and obviously mechal Shabbos to save them, and do whatever you can, and we also have the NICU, we have a million things to be able to Baruch Hashem, to be able to have an early pregnancy, to be able to save the baby. So then we would for sure assume that would be pikuach nefesh. And also, he also said, Bepashas, also the shaila about giving it a mila would obviously depend on the metzias. If the baby is healthy enough, I think most of the time an 8th month old is not able to do a bismillah, but I'm not sure about all the mitzvahs, but that would depend on exactly if the doctors would assume it's healthy. Gemara continues on Itmar. We learn Rav Amar Lacha Katana Kama. Rav says that Lacha is going to be the Tanakama's interpretation of Bisila, which Rashi points out that means that you don't need to do Tamas Dam Bris at all during the weekday. That's how Rav held. Shmuel says Lacha Kerem Shem Elazar. Shmuel holds that they're only arguing about a ger, where everyone agrees that during the weekday you would still do a Tavas Dam Bris. The Gemara now relates a story of Adabar Ava Isloid Leahu Yanuka Kshu Maho. So he had a baby who was already born circumcised. Rather, it's a very big, it's a very holy thing. I think of Havala and Yanim, Yosef Atzadik was born with a bris, to be born with a bris, which is a side point that it's a very holy thing, someone whose baby is born with a bris. Either way, the Gemara continues, Ahadre Atlaser Malai. So he went to 13 different mall, and whenever the Gemara uses 13, we've had this a few times already. It's usually the Rishonim Ritman, the Aruch points out, I think, that it's always considered an exaggeration. But either way, he was looking for all the mall house to be able to do the bris mila for him, and he couldn't find anyone because they all held that it was Asr to do it on Shabbos, Asr to do Raisa. So he couldn't find anyone, so Rashi says he decided, okay, I'm stuck, let me do it myself, which is obviously don't try this at home, and really don't try this at home, because unfortunately the baby came mutilated. The Gemara says, Amar, Rav Adabrada said to him, Tasili Davar the Rav. He says, wow, this happened to me because I violated what Rav said, because again, Rav's interpretation of the Tanakhama's Machlokes was Abisil Belshama, it was that Bechil Bechlal don't hold that you'd be chayav to do the bris mila at all, and Kol Shekin on Shabbos, so you violated an Isser Daraisa of Chabura on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman." Rav Nachman responded to him, "But the Shmuel Avar." But wait a second, who says that Shmuel is any better? Again, Shmuel said the Machlokes is only about a ger, that whether or not a ger, but everyone would agree that you need to do it. But Lechora, they only need to do it out of doubt. That they would both agree that you'd only need to do it out of doubt, and everyone Beis Hillel would agree that it's usher to do the Hatavas Dam Bris on Shabbos. So the Gemara is asking, wouldn't Shmuel also be opposed to a Rav of Adid? So the Gemara says, "Imar Dam Shmuel Bechol." No, that when would Shmuel say that his shita? That's only during the weekday. Meaning that Shmuel argued in regards to Shimon Malazim Achlokas whether or not it's going to assume that it's only during a weekday. Oh, so the Gemara is continuing now. Shabbos Miyamar again. Sorry. So they're just fleshing out what I already said. That the Gemara is saying that what Shmuel is saying is halacha only with regards to the weekday, but Shabbos, he would not allow you to do it because it's a case of a doubt, Rashi says, right? And since it's a case of a doubt, he just fleshed out what I was saying, that really it would be usher to do the bris mila on to do the tavas dam bris on Shabbos. So Gemara says, who saw Ravada or La Kavushi? No, Ravada is saying in the Dash of Shimon Lazar that everyone would agree that it's not just a shaila of maybe there is some foreskin underneath. It's Vada there's some foreskin underneath, in which case the Tavas Dambris is fully allowed, and therefore since it's fully allowed, you'd be allowed to violate Shabbos in order to do the Tavas Dambris. The Itmar, because it says the Rabba Mar Cheshinan Shema or La Kavushi. Rabba says that in Lefi Rabbi Shimon Ben Lazar that we're only maybe it could be that there is some foreskin, which in case of Suffolk, no one would agree that you'd violate. No one would agree, they'd be allowed to violate Shabbos for that suffix. However, Rav Yosef Amar Vader Lekavushahi. Rav Yosef heard that it's definitely hidden underneath. In which case, if you have extra foreskin, everyone would agree that you would be allowed to violate Shabbos if you assume Vaday to do the Hatavas Dam Bris. So the Gemara wants to bring a Rav Yosef wants to bring a Raya from the Bris. So Amar Rav Yosef, Minah Minila, where can I bring a proof of what I just said? Because we learn in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Akfar Omer lo nechuk b'sham beis hillel al nolat shu mal. B'sham beis hillel don't disagree with regards to the basic halacha that someone who's born with a mila is shari chazivin adam bris. He's going to have to do the hatavas dermis, take out some blood. Al manech lagu, what are they arguing? L'chal av is a Shabbos to whether or not we're going to have a machlokas, whether or not they're going to mechal al Shabbos for this baby, for do this. B'sham beis hillel is a Shabbos. B'sham beis says that you do. Beis hillel homrim in mechal av is a Shabbos, whereas beis hillel say that we do violate Shabbos. So we don't have the first part of this brisa. So Rav Yosef is assuming that maybe the first part of the brisa is lav mikal tanakama shem mechal Shabbos. If Rabbi Elazar Akfar is coming to respond to the tanakama, so what was the tanakama holding? He was saying that they only argue whether or not you violated Shabbos. So what did tanakama hold? It sounded like the tanakama says Rav Yosef, it implies that the tanakama is holding that both themselves of mechal and Shabbos, that you'd be allowed to violate Shabbos for this baby, even according to Beis Hillel. And that lechora, that tanakama is how Rav Adar Bar Avva is learning bedash Shmuel and bedash Rav Yosef, and that works out. So Gemara says, no, maybe Dilma Tanakama Sarvadi Riakol Mechalim Kamar. Maybe the Tanakama is assuming that everyone would agree that you would not violate Shabbos for this baby. And Rabbi Elazar Akfar would be teaching us the Chiddush of Shitas Beit Shammai. The Gemara is saying, "Kain Rabbi Elazar Akfar, Tamei Beit Shammai, Asa Lashmina." And you're going to tell me that the Chiddush is that we're coming to teach you the Chiddush of Beit Shammai. We don't just come around to tell you what Beit Shammai hold, because Beit Shammai is in Alach Rashi. So we never pass on like Beit Shammai. It wouldn't be that it's coming out of its way. When we have Beit Shammai, yes, obviously we'll analyze Beit Shammai, and that's Elavei Derekayim, that's Talmud Torah to learn Beit Shammai. Right, but however, to come out of your way to tell you a psak of Bishamai, which is not relevant, and we're not going to pass like that, it wouldn't be Rabbi Elazar Akfar coming to teach you that. So therefore, it must be he was coming to teach you in Pashtus, that he's coming to teach you that lechora that Beis Hillel agree that you'd be that in the first case according to the Tanakama you would be violating Shabbos for this baby to do that tavas dam bris. The Gemara says no, but maybe Dilma Achkamar, maybe he's coming to say the following chiddush. Lo nechuk b'shamay Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. B'shamay Beis Hillel aren't arguing on this issue. What does that mean? We're assuming right now that we're holding that when it comes to the shita, that even Beis Hillel is going to disagree with regards to the weekday. It's coming to say that even during the weekday that Beis Hillel don't require tavas dam bris. And Rabbi Elazar Akfar is responding to that. No. During the week, everyone agrees you need a tavas dam bris. But on Shabbos, they're arguing whether or not you would be allowed to violate Shabbos for that. Bishamah would hold that you wouldn't, Beis Hillel would hold that you wouldn't. So the Chiddush is still in Beis Hillel. Chiddush is the Tanakama wanted to hold in Bidas Beis Hillel. You don't even do the tavas dam bris. And the Gemara is saying that no, Rabbi Elazar Akfar was coming to say no, that you do the tavas dam bris during the weekday. But everyone would agree that Beis Hillel would hold that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a tavas dam bris. In which case, Rav Yosef's Raya just went out the windows. Where says Amar Avasi? So Ravasi wanted to tie us. He said the following: Kol shi motmei aleda. Another halacha. Right now, that's any woman. So again, we don't have a raya from Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says Ravasi says Kol shi motmei aleda. Anyone who is born and the mother's going to come tame, that she's going to be tumas leda. We know that a woman's tame for the midaraisa. We're machmir on this afterwards, but midaraisa for only 7 days, and after that it's going to be dam tawar, and she's not going to mikvah. She's fully tawar. That's one of the reasons brought down. I think Rashi and Chumash quotes that the av shouldn't, the family shouldn't be sad that she's in nida, that she should go to the mikvah and she should be happy. The Gemara in Nida actually brings it down, right? So she should go to them, be part of the family. So that's that only someone who has this regular din of a childbirth. Nima, so that, however, Nima Shmonas. And that's a person who's going to be, have the bris mila on eighth day. Because she ain't Nima Tumei Leda. However, if you have a mother, ain't Nima Shmonas. If you have a mother who does not become Tamei through Tumas Leda, then you would not have the bris be done on the eighth day. What is the example of that? So Rashi gives two. One is, an example is a woman who gives birth to a C-section, right? If she has a C-section, that's not considered normal Tumas Leda. The Gemara in Nida learns out from over there that it's not the normal way that she gives birth. Yishaki says real only when she's having birth in the normal way. She's not a birth in the normal way. She's not to Maleda. So therefore, the child would not be have the bris mila on the eighth day. Pasha should be allowed to even do it from day one, according to this. And the second example Rashi gives is that if you have a non-Jewish woman who gave birth and then decided to convert, let's say on day three. So according to that, there's no tumas leda, but she should be able to give the bris right away on day three or whatever, day two, whatever she's converting. So the pasuk says, what's the raya for that? Shnemar yishaki says so only if she's giving birth. Then we're here. I already discussed this. Sorry. Another Gemara need also. The Gemara over here explicitly says the drasha for why it would be that a woman is not tamei if she doesn't give birth. Normally, we're assuming right now only when she gives birth in a normal circumstance, you do the bris mila on day eight. So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaye doros shem mechuchah abaye sakasha. What do you mean? Avram Avinu. He doesn't have tumas leida for sarah. We know that they weren't mitzvah in tumas leida yet. The Torah commanded him to do the bris mila on the eighth day. She ain't imat mei leida v'nimalishmona. Right? They didn't have the childbirth. Yitzchak Avinu, who was given on the eighth day. Right? It clearly was on the eighth day, and yet there was no tumas leida for Sarah. So why should it be that over there that this halacha should work. Right? We see in Sefer Bereishis it's not that way. So then we're answered some relay nisna torah nischad shalacha. That really that was the way that the Jews practiced before Matan Torah happened. When Matan Torah came into effect, the halacha came out that anyone who has a tumas leida is going to have the bris milah on the 8th day, and anyone else would not have the tumas leida on the 8th day. The Gemara says, "Ain, is that really true?" That itmar yotze dofen mishiyos noshte orlos. Ravuna, Ravchia, Marav, Chadamar, Machana, Vashavas, Chadamar, Enel Chalalim. There's machlokas about this. And when it comes to a woman who has a C-sex and if someone has two foreskins, Ravuna says that one says that you would violate Shabbos for him in order to do the Mila, and the other one would hold that we would not violate Shabbos in order to do the Mila for him. So the Gemara says, Adkan lo pligi el chalavas Shabbos. The old machlokas is to go so far as to say you should violate Shabbos, but everyone would agree about Shemona ben Amilina night. You said before that there's no chiv whatsoever to do it on day 8 if the boy is born. By C-section, but over here we see everyone would agree that you do the bris milah. The only argument whether or not you should violate Shabbos, but everyone agree that bris milah should be done on the 8th day. So when it comes out on Shabbos, that's one exception. That's a machlokas. Probably not do it on Shabbos. That's what the other Amora holds. But over here, everyone would agree that in a normal circumstance, if the 8th day is going to fall on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day of the week, other than Shabbos, everyone would agree that even for a cesarean section, for a C-section, you should do the bris milah on day 8. Not like you want to tell that you should do it on day 1 or you can't do it on day 1. So the Gemara answers in defense of Rav Ashi. The Gemara says, ha, baha, talia, that the halacha is going to be dependent on that halacha, meaning that if you violate Shabbos, then we assume that the halacha would be that you should do it on day 8. If the halacha is that you don't violate Shabbos, then the halacha is you do not have to do it on day 8. And that is good for the machlokas over here, whether or not you have to do it on the 8th day or not. So the Gemara says, Tanai lechora, Rav Asi is halacha is going to be machlokas tanaim in the following Braisa. Because the Braisa says, Yeshli Bayis, that you have an example of Yeshli Bayis Shinimel Echad, someone who's born into the house is going to be considered having the meal on the first day. Yeshli Bayis Shinimel Shmona, there's an example of someone who's born into the house is going to have the bris meal on the 8th day. What is this Yeshli Bayis? So just a quick dumb over here, the Torah tells us that there's a Shifcha Kananis. The Shifcha Kananis is a Kanani, who's a non-Jewish person. We're going to see she has different halachas. She goes to go to the mikvah. She's chayav in mitzvahs lo sase. But we're talking about over here for this purpose is that Torah tells us that there's usually two categories. There's yelid bias, is someone who's born, and if you have a child who's born to a slave and who was your property in while you owned her already. And then there's miknas kesef, that you purchased her and her child with money. So there's going to be different examples. There's a yelid bias that it's going to have bris milah on the 8th day. And you're also going to have to someone who's generally, if you purchase them, it's going to be on the milah on the first day. You also have an example if you purchase the Vlad on the day you'll still be mild the baby on the 8th day. Yesh miknas kesef shimala echad, yesh miknas kesef shimala shmona, and there's also miknas kesef that is born on that you have the bris milah on the first day. There's miknas kesef that's born on the 8th day. Kate said, how do you have this? So more says lakach shifcha muberes v'akachach yalada. So if you bought a pregnant shifcha kninis and then she gave birth to a boy afterwards, that miknas kesef nimala shmona. That's a good example. Someone who's purchased with money who is going to have bris milah on the 8th day. Lakach shifcha vlada ima. However, if you purchase the lady and the shifcha kninis and her child along with her, zoy miknas kesef nimala echad. That'd be the example of someone who would have bris milah on the first day. That is what the brace wants to learn out. So far, v'yeshli bayish nimala. So you have a yilid bias. Someone who's born into the house literally, who's going to have the bris milah on the 8th day. What does it mean that example? If you bought a shifcha kninis and she became pregnant while you're in possession, then she gave birth. That'd be an example. If someone who did the bris milah on the 8th day. So now the Gemara says, Rav Chama says that what's the example of yilid bayis that we say that is going to be that you do the bris milah on the first day? That is when she gave birth and then she went in the mikvah afterwards. Only have to go to the mikvah to make herself a shifcha kninis. Does she then go to do the milah afterwards? Because a non-Jew to require the status of shifcha kninis, you have to first do the something similar to the conversion process, and then she does that. She goes to the mikvah, and only afterwards. Then she would be. Then she would go to the mikvah on day. He would go to the bris milah on day 1. However, it's bila v'akrach liyalada. If she first went into the mikvah and then she gave birth, zeilid bayis and imal lishmona. That'd be an example of someone who's literally born into the house that you would do the bris milah on the 8th day. What's the reason for the chiluk? Because the reason that we make a distinction over here is that a woman is going to. We're going to assume that only after she goes to the mikvah she makes shifcha kananis. Therefore, if she gives birth before she goes to the mikvah, she's not going to be tamas leida because she has no shaykhus to being a Jew. However, therefore she's not tamas leida, and then she's going to have then she's going to have bris milah on day 1. However, if she does it afterwards, she's like quasi-Jew, in which case she would do the bris milah for her child on day 8. This would be following Shitas Rav Asi, that a child whose mother is not tamei due to the fact that she has tumas leida, then she's not, she do the mila on day one. That reports Rav Asi. Just to point out, this famous machlokas, I think it's between Numuke Yosef and maybe the Rav, and one of the Rishonim, Rav Chaim made this famous, is that what is the status of a Shifcha Knanis? Is she a quasi-Jew Midaraisa, only Midarabanan? That could be whether or not the second Tevila, she decides she wants to become a Jew, is that Daraisa or Darabanan? If you assume that second Tevila is only Daraisa, then her status of a quasi-Jew is Mamish Midaraisa. Meaning, is she a non-Jew with certain Xeris HaKasu that she has to keep certain mitzvos, or is she a Jew with certain exceptions to her being a Jew? That's the fundamental different way of looking at it. And that's Talui on whether or not the Tevila is Midaraisa or Darabanan after when she would want to convert again. When she has to convert again and she wants to go to the mikvah, is that Dereisa or Derabanan? If you assume that's only Derabanan, then she was a full status of a Jew. She just had exceptions. If you assume the other way, that's Dereisa, then she would be a full status of a non-Jew. There's exceptions that she has certain mitzvahs. So either way, we see over here that it depends on when she goes to the mikvah. The Gemara says the Tanakama, and if the Tanakama, Lushadalai, there's going to be no difference according to the Kama. There's no difference whether or not she goes to the mikvah first or goes to the mikvah afterwards. Then it doesn't matter if the mother is Tumas Leda, she's going to be Nibalish one. This seemingly is going to be against Rav Asi. So the Gemara was saying that this suggestion, that maybe this what Rav Asi had suggested, is really a machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara says, before the Gemara now just analyzes the braces, the Gemara says, Bishla mal Rav Chama. So now I understand Amaravas Malagir. So Bishla mal Rav Chama Mishkachas le Yili Bayis Limel Echad. According to Rav Chama, I understand how you have a case of someone who is born in Asler to Yili Bayis that's going to have go to the Bris Mila on day one. Yelid Bayis Nimel Shmon. And also now you're going to have an example of someone who was born to Asler as a Mila on day eight. Miknas Kesef Nimel Echad. Miknas Kesef Nimel Shmon. Also the one who was purchased with money. They're day one and day eight. I get it. Yalda Vachachachad Bila. Because if you have this Shifcha Knanis, who she, after conceiving, she was bought by a Jew, and then she gave birth while she was owned by the Jew, and then he only went to the mikvah afterwards. Zayilid Bayis Shani Malacha. That'd be an example of where she gives birth on day one. She has the Bris Mila on day one, because at that point we're assuming that because she didn't have Tumas Leda. Hayit Bila Vakach Yalada. If she went to the mikvah first and then she gave birth, Zayilid Bayis Shani Malacha. That makes sense. She'd be day eight because she has Tumas Leda at that point. She's considered to be a Yelid Bayis, because she points out, because her mother didn't conceive him until after she became the property of the Jew. So the Gemara says, Miknas Kesef Nimal Ashmon, in this situation where you purchase the person with money who's considered to be Nimal on the eighth day, Kigon Shalakach Shifcha Mubaris, so it's Bila Acharach Yalada. In an example, we're assuming that the Adon, he purchased a pregnant Shifcha Knainis, and then he put her in the mikvah, and then later she gave birth. Since she was pregnant at the time of the purchase, the child is considered a Miknas Kesef, and since she went to mikvah before giving birth, she's going to have the Tumas Leda, therefore she's going to have she's going to be Nimal, the baby would be born, the baby would have the Prismila on day 8. Miknas Kesef Nimal Ech, what's the example of you purchasing a Shifcha Knanis' child, and you do the Mila on day one, Kigon Shalakach Zeh Shifcha Vizeh Ubra. If, in a situation where you have a pregnant Shifcha Knanis, she was purchased by two people. This one bought the Shifcha Knanis, and this one bought her fetus. And since the one who bought the fetus is not going to have Shifas to the mother, at that point we'd assume that therefore she would be allowed to do the Bris Mila on day one. So the Gemara says, El Tanakama, but according to the Tanakama, Bishlam HaKulu Mishkatla, I get all the other cases that we have. El Yilid Bayis Nimel Echad HaKamshala, how do you have a situation where someone is born to the house is going to have the Bris Mila on day one? Because according to the only case we found according to Rav Chama was the situation when someone, we have the one who didn't go to the mikvah before when she conceived and she gave birth in while she was still the other, and she didn't go to the mikvah yet. Since she's not going to be too much later, but according to Rav Chama, that doesn't help us. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara answers now, the Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, but lokeach shifcha le'uba. We're talking about a case where the Adon is buying the shifcha only for the right to her fetus. That he's acquiring the mamon aspect, the monetary aspect, is only, the sole benefit is to keep her offspring. So let's say she could be owned by someone else, but he's purchasing only their offspring. So the Gemara is being mechadish over here that the mila is going to be done right away because she has a right to the offspring. So the Gemara says, but this would be taller than another machlokas that we have in Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra discusses machlokas, I think, or Shlakish of Rabbi Yochanan, on whether or not if you have property that's owned by two people, someone owns the land and someone owns the right to the production or whatever it might be in general. So then if you own the peros, who is really the ikar owner? So if you assume that the kinyan peros lakinan guf dummy, that it's not really the ikar owner, if you own all the thing that's going to produce, if I buy a machine and I'm taking all the thing that's going to produce, I'm not like the ikar owner. If the guy owns the machine, is the ikar owner. So then So then that makes sense. Then El Alaman Damar Kinan Peros, because although the Adon is owning the child, he's not viewed as the owning the mother, and therefore you make sense to give the Bris Milah on day one. El Alaman Damar Kinan Peros Kiginan Aguftami, if you assume that the one who says that if you do have the right to the produce, it's the Iker, you're the Iker owner, so then Ma'ik Lamimar, so then having acquired the right to the Shifcha's Vlad, to the Shifcha's son, the owner is going to be viewed as the owner of the Shifcha as well. So then when she gives birth, it's going to be assumed that it's going to be similar to a general Jewish child. Then you should have the Bris Mila on day 8 according to that Shita. So the Gemara suggests another answer because of that. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Mashri Shaira, Belokeah Shivcha Al Menash Shalolat Bila. We're talking about the case where the Adon bought the slave with the condition that he's not going to ever put her in the mikvah. Since she's never going to convert her, make her a Shivcha Kenayis. So then if she then later conceived and gave birth, since the child is never going to have a lach of Shivcha Kenayis, then at that point everyone would agree that she is not going to have the Bris Milah on day, the child would not have to have the Bris Milah on day 8, because there's no shaykhas to the fact that Shifcha Kenayis, because her mother is not a Shifcha Kenayis. So the Gemara says, so now that was all, we finished the Indian of Yilid Bayis and Shifcha, and Yilid Miknas Kesem Yilid Bayis. Now the Gemara just asks, how could you ever have a Bris Milah on day 8? Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol Shisha Shloshim Yom Ba'adam Eino Nefel, that only if a baby is going to survive 30 days do we assume that that's not considered a Nefel. Before then it's going to only be considered a Nefel as a child that you assume is probably going to die anyway. That's why, Rahman al-Hassan, that's why there's nafkaminas for Shiva, let's say. If a baby dies in the first 30 days, the family, the parents will not sit Shiva. Only after that, because this halacha over here, that it's considered a Nefel. Shenemar, how do we know this? The pasuk tells you that only you redeem a child from the age of 1 month. Why only at the age of 1 month? Because the Torah is telling you clearly that for 1 month, that the child is not considered established, not considered something that could live, and therefore you only do the pidyon habein after 1 month. Shmonas habeima in a Nefel, and just in contrast to that, also 8 days for an animal is going to be considered an animal that's not a Nefel. That's the pasuk tells you, the introduction to the Moedim, I think, that the pasuk over there tells you that from day 8 you can bring a korban. So just point out there's a difference. Fundamentally, is that the second case of the it ends on day 7. Day 8 you rather bring a korban. However, the other one extends through the end of day 30, meaning only day 31 are we considering you not a Nefil anymore. But the Gemara continues now. So then, what's the question? For us, the purpose is, the question is going to be, halo shah sveka have, that if the child didn't survive for 30 days, it's considered to be a suffix. So then, what's the heter? Mimal, the heichem malinah. What's the heter to do it on Shabbos? You're going to be violating a potential Issa Dereisa for a Nefil, that's a boy baby that's not going to be born. Just like for the 7th month old, we said you're not allowed to do this. How could you be allowed to do it for the 9 month old, for the baby who's born regularly? If you don't know, he's going to last 30 days, you violated Shabbos. The Gemara wants to suggest, Amar Rav Ada bar Ava. Rav Ada bar Ava suggested, Malinoso mi manavshach. You're allowed to do it because manavshach is like, either way you slice it, it's going to be okay. Why? Because the two ways to look at it doesn't matter. Why? Because the following. Im chai havi shaper kamal. If the child survives Baruch Hashem, so you've done and not on a nefel, and therefore you haven't violated Shabbos because the baby lived till however long the baby is going to live to. V'im lav. So then, if that we see that the baby did not live, so then, Rahman al-Tzalah, then Mechatif Babasaru, that it's to be considered that you have just cutting meat. Like, what have you done? You haven't killed a baby, you haven't cut anything. And if you haven't done a chabura on a live person, because the baby, lamafreya, it's going to come out that retroactively that you never really did a chabura on a person, and a person cuts fresh meat, also sometimes the blood is going to come out from there, and that would not be an issue of violating Shabbos. So therefore, since it's not considered halachically a living being, lamafreya, what would come out is retroactively also would not be a problem of violating Shabbos. Okay, well, we'll pick up the Birch Hashem for Lahadisana, the Gemara's Kasha, because it's going to be a little bit back and forth, so we'll stop from here. I'll pick up the Gemara's Kasha, Amir Tzah Hashem, tomorrow.